Kings chapter number 8. We have the story here of Solomon. The temple has been built. It's being ready to be dedicated. They've withheld the dedication for 11 months. Now, why in the world do they hold it up for 11 months? They wait till the feast of the booth or tabernacles. That would be similar to what our Thanksgiving is. And they waited till then, 11 months, to be able to dedicate the building. God's people would gather to worship, sing his praises, hear his word preached, proclaimed, have fellowship with one another, seek his wisdom, seek his power to help in times of trouble. That's what church ought to be. The word church means ecclesia. I mean, the Old Testament
and the temple
is not the New Testament church.
Christ began it. He built it. But there were some things they had great in common.
Because it was a place where God chose to meet with the people. And even though God is everywhere at all times, he has chosen certain people, certain places, certain things. We'll talk about it in a moment. So Solomon here, he knew that God would be pleased when they would gather together, if they would gather in one mind. And he prayed, and I'm not going to read the whole prayer. It's a long one, but I want you to go in your Bibles to chapter 8 and verse number 29. He prays, he says, that thine eyes may be open toward this house night and day, even toward the place of which thou hast said, my name shall be there, that thou mayest hearken unto the prayer which thy servant shall make toward this place. And hearken thou to the supplication of thy servant and of thy people Israel
when they shall pray
toward this place, and hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place. And when thou hear it, forgive. And so here Solomon come, and he had put it off until this time. He had the Levites to come, the priests and Levites to come with long poles to transport all the articles of furniture from the tabernacle to this temple. The last was going to be the Ark of the Covenant. They had stick poles in it. There was a way in which they had to transport it.
And they transported it
and they put it in the Holy of Holies that was made.
And
if you look back at verse number 10, it tells you what happens when they put it in there and they remove themselves from the room. And it came to pass when the priest would come out
of the holy place
that the cloud filled the house of the Lord. And heaven began to show the fact that it confirmed that it was going to be his house. Now, what we need to understand is Solomon was one of the greatest kings.
He
built a bronze platform, and he right in front of the altar and right in front of the temple. The Bible says that he got there and he got on his knees and he raised his hands up and he began to pray unto God. And he lifted,
if you take
time sometime, I preached on it and read
the whole thing.
You read this whole prayer. And the Bible says that Solomon recognized,
if you look in verse
number 27, but will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee, How much less this house that I have built? So here, Solomon knew that God dwelt in the heavens of heavens. Nothing could contain God, but he prayed that God would take this building, this house, and he would come down and he would be there for his people.
He would meet their needs.
He would hear their prayers. And if you look and keep your finger there and go with me to the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Real quickly, keep your finger there in 1 Kings chapter 8. But in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, notice what the Bible says in verse number 1. It says, now when it's talking about the same event, now when Solomon had made an end of praying, and fire came down from heaven, consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. The priest could not enter the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down, the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshiped and praised God, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever.
Amen.
What a day that was. As they sat and the people saw God come from heaven, even though he was at all places, but he came and he particularly agreed to make his presence known. And tonight I want to share with you a thought or two, because in that temple they would continually come before God, meet God with their needs, have issues going on in their lives. They'd have several festivities that they would celebrate a year in the temple. And so God honored that temple by making his presence known. And we've talked about how that God also has called the church, our New Testament church, a temple. He also has called our body a temple.
And of course, we make up the church.
And so tonight, I want to share this thought. When God touches the earth, when God comes down from heaven and dwells, and you feel his presence in the earth. Now, I want you to think about this just a moment, and I want you to understand, even though we realize he's everywhere. Now, he had chose Israel. Now, let me get your mind on this. The Bible says that God is no respecter of persons. And you need to understand, 38 times he makes that little cliche in the Bible, that quote. And what it tells us is, and then each time it affected three things, and you heard me talk about this, but it's important to remember. Salvation. God does not, he is not prejudiced. He is not decisive on who gets saved, whoever comes, regardless of what color, how rich or poor, male or female, everybody comes the same way of salvation. Everybody has the same opportunity of receiving rewards. Some has more, given more, and some given less, but everybody has the opportunity of receiving rewards with what they've been given. Also, a God is no respecter of persons in devying out punishment. To whom much is given, many stripes will be beaten with them. But, again, it's not the color of your skin. It's not where you come from. Everybody, God treats everybody the same in that. But God has chosen certain things. He's chosen Israel. He's chosen Israel, and he's chosen Israel as God's people, as his chosen people. Now, pay attention to me. I can out-preach a little girl any time. Now pay attention to what's going on. God's chosen Israel. God also has chosen his prophets. He's chosen a temple to place himself. He's chosen several things. He's given us his word. And now he sent Jesus. And now he's made New Testament churches. Now you got that? When you come to this church, and any church, if we want God to dwell in it and his presence to be here, there's some things that we have to understand, as Solomon understood. We have been, God has chosen through his wisdom to allow little places like this to carry on his work until he comes and he calls them home. I've had people, and as a matter of fact, you've heard me talk about it, the biggest battle I had in the church, and I only had it really one person, was when we came and wanted to support missions. But what they didn't understand was God's way of getting the message and gospel out to the whole world was to be a part and join together with other churches and sending missionaries out into the world to preach the gospel. And so therefore we have to have an understanding that if we want God's presence to be here, and we want his blessings, then we have to understand, we have to be a people that is doing the things that Solomon realized that the people had to do. I want to share five with you real quickly. I got thinking about it because this morning we've had several visitors. One, some of you may know, some may not. As a matter of fact, two of them, their husbands used to pastor churches. One of them, their husband recently died. And at the end of service, I went back and spoke to her. And she was crying. And I know that she was hurting a lot. And I can imagine what it would be like to be a pastor's wife and be at a church for so long and then have to decide what you're going to do. And I told her we would be praying for her, and I want us to pray for her. But I got thinking when I left that church ought to be a place that you can come and find some help. And so I want you to share a couple things with you. Look in your Bibles, if you would, verse 15. Before Solomon ever said anything, he wanted God to be praised. And he said, "Blessed be Lord God of Israel, which spake with his mouth and David my father, and which with his hands fulfilled its saying," and he went on to name several things. In other words, what he did was, the first thing he wanted to do was praise God for what he had done. Now listen to me a minute. We need to learn when we come in the house of God not to come here asking God for what he's going to do. This generation has got a mentality, what have you done for me today? If you haven't done anything for me today, then there's a problem. But if we want God to dwell in this church, and by the way, any church that there is, when we quit doing these things, God can just write Ichabod on the door and we can meet and his presence not ever be felt. But what we have to do is we have to give him praise. We have to give him praise for what he's done. And every one of us that are saved, we ought to have things that we want to praise him for. That's why Solomon waited until Israel's Thanksgiving. They wanted to give God thanks because he was good. Right now is our Thanksgiving. It's time not only to be thankful. Sometimes we say, well, I want to be thankful for my family and my kids and this. How about just being thankful to God for everything that he's done? I mean, truly being thankful to God. And so therefore, if we want to do that, what we have to do is we have to come into this church with praise and thanksgiving, gratitude. You know, that's why that song, you young people did a good job on that song. I got on them a time or two lately because they kind of hadn't been singing out. But they did a good job singing out this morning. Amen. And I love that song. Because truly we have been blessed. We've got so many things to be thankful for. And you know who we owe it all to? God. So when we come into the church, if we want God to dwell in this place, Solomon was wise enough to understand, if we want God to dwell in this place, we better praise God and bless God and thank God for what he's done. And not just come in this place all the time, sticking our hands out saying, God, I want, I want, I want. But come in and say, God, we're so thankful. Not only that, but also,
Solomon asked
for pardons. And by the way, let me say this. And I know sometimes people say politics, but I want you to listen to me. I'm glad that we have a president bold enough that when the Pentagon brass wants to take three soldiers that's been done cruelly, been mistreated, and he's willing to stand, and when they're telling him don't do this, he's willing to look them in the eyes and say, I'm going to pardon these three soldiers because they went out and did their best on what you asked them to do, and they had to face enemies not knowing who they were facing coming at them and what's going on, and President Obama made it about impossible to go into conflict and know what to do. And so I thank God for the pardons that he did. But also when we come into this house, listen to me. When we come into this house, follow these verses if you would. Stay with me a minute, just a moment. Look if you would in chapter 8, verse 33. Notice what Solomon said. And when thy people Israel be smitten down before the enemy because they have what? Sinned against thee, and shall turn again unto thee, and confess thy name, and pray, and make supplication to thee in this house. Notice verse 34. Then hear thou in heaven, and forgive the sin of thy people Israel, and bring them again into the land which thou gavest unto their fathers. Look in verse 35. And when heaven is shut up, and there is no rain, because they have sinned against thee, if they pray toward this place, and confess thy sin, turn from their sin when thou afflictest them. Then I hear thou in heaven and forgive thy sin of thy servants and of thy people Israel, that thou teach them the good way wherein they walk, they should walk, and give rain upon the land which thou hast given to thy people for an inheritance. Now notice in verse 39. Then hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and forgive and do and give to every man according to his ways, whose heart thou knowest, for thou, even thou, only knows the hearts of all the children of God. Look in verse 46. If they sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with them, and deliver them to the enemy, so that they carry them away captives into the land of the enemy, far and near. And then he goes on down, I'll skip on down verse 50, and knows this. And he said, forgive thy people that have sinned against thee, and all their transgressions wherein they have transgressed against thee, and give them compassion before them who carried them captive, that they may have compassion on them. If we want God to dwell in this house, he must get praised for what he has done.
Amen.
And when we come in this house, we must realize that many things that's coming upon us and happening to us is because we have sinned. And we all sin. And therefore, we have to come and we have to confess our sin.
Amen.
If we get to be a church that never confesses sin before God, he'll leave us. He'll forsake this building. Because we have all sinned. If we get where we expect one or two people, and we look and say, well, maybe somebody be here that will come down and ask for forgiveness. Solomon said, listen, when we get diseases, when we're taken by the enemy, when we have defeats, when we have problems in our lives, he goes on and says, when we have not only diseases, but a think of the other thing. I can't think it right now. When there's no rain that comes on us because of our sin, he said, when we do that and we come in this house and we confess our sin, would you forgive us from heaven and get us back on track? If we want his presence, then it's got to be a place where we can come, confess our sins, and find forgiveness and get back. And by the way, we all need it. I'll never forget, I had one lady one time. As a matter of fact, I'm going to point her out tonight. I don't care. She told me, she said, years ago, said, I worry about Doris. Said, Doris always comes to the altar every service. I told her, I said, I worry about you. I've never seen you there. I don't worry about those that's compelled to come. I'm worried about those who never make it. But if we want God to dwell, we've got to be there. We've got to ask God. Not only that, but also where prayers are answered.
There Solomon prayed.
And he wasn't praying just to pray. He prayed because he expected an answer. Now listen to me a minute, please. Most of the time when we come into this church, we pray three or four times just in regular service. If we're not real careful, and I catch myself doing this sometimes, and God really convicted me about it tonight before I got here in studying this. When we pray, we need to be praying, expecting God to answer prayers. When we make these requests, we need to be believing that God can intervene in these situations. When we pray for our country and our president, and we need to be, we need to pray for the wickedness that is attacking. We need to pray for what they're doing, destroying the structure of this country. Now, I'd be the first one to say, I don't care. If it's Nixon, I don't care if it's Clinton, Democrat or Republican. If they deserve to go down, let them go down. But when you just don't like what people voted and what and the one that they voted for and you try to take them down, that's a whole different story. But let me ask you this. How much prayer, real prayer, are we putting? If we want God to stay in this place, when we pray, we have to believe that God is hearing our prayers and able and capable of answering prayers. And we do recognize that God doesn't always answer what the way that we see it, but so many times we just go through and we just say a prayer to fulfill a certain portion. If we want God to be in this place, then we have to have God. Not only in our prayers, but in our songs. You have to put God in a song. I was sitting there listening to Diane sing, helping her out a little bit, showing her how it's done. I'm kidding. But I thought, what a beautiful song. And my heart was elevated. I wasn't worrying about the way she sung it. I was listening to the words. And I was thinking about that Beulah land, that land of marriage. And what a home he's gone to prepare for us. And you know, Brother Porter was talking about one of his favorite songs, Away in the Manger. You say, well, that's simplistic. That might be for you, but that's one that speaks to his heart. There might be another one that speaks to your heart that someone else may think is simplistic. You know, there's a lot of songs, simple songs. Sometimes we sing in our chapel service, God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. One of my favorite songs. Not real deep, but then it is pretty deep. In our song service, in our prayers, and as well, if we want him to dwell in this place, when we preach, we have to preach his word, not ours. We have to preach from his. Stay in the book. Preach it. Not fold to the temptation of changing versions, not fold to the temptation of preaching only positive things, but just preach the word and let it do the work.
Amen.
When it cuts me, it cuts me. When it cuts you, it cuts you.
Amen.
When it helps me, it'll help me. When it helps you, it helps you. And so we have to understand our prayers, our preaching, and our singing has to be with God in mind if we want His presence to dwell with us. I believe, and by the way, you don't have to agree with me, but a lot of this new stuff can't hold a light to the old rugged cross. And yet, what they'll do is, they'll condemn. I've heard people condemn all them old songs. They're draggy. Why don't you try listening to the words? You don't have to, your body don't have to be moved to the beat. Listen to the words. Your soul ought to be moved by the truth. And to think what happened on that old rugged cross ought to move us. And there's some new songs I like. But there's a lot of them I think misses the mark. And to be honest with you, there's a lot of the old ones. Fanny Crosby, I think she's wrote some that she has more truth in a verse than some of them has in the whole songs. And man, she loved the Lord. She knew how to lift them up. And last but not least, if we want God to dwell in this place, it ought to be a place where peace is. Now listen to me a minute. Notice if you would in verse 38, chapter 8. I'll close with this one. It says, whatever prayer or supplication soever be made by any man or by all thy people Israel, which shall know every man the plague of his own heart and spread forth his hand toward this house. It's a time when people are suffering sometimes. This church should not be a place. Backbiting, gossip. Should not be a place where people are being criticized all the time. I was thinking of Sister Price. I don't know her. Met her a few times. That's all I know. But I know she's heartbroken today. And I thought, when she comes in this church, and I don't know why she was here this morning, didn't ask, don't care. That's between her and God. But I know she was hurting, and I thought, this church ought to be a place to help someone that's hurting. Listen to me a minute. Everybody listening? It ought to be a place that we greet each other with smiles and handshakes and hugs.
Right. Amen.
But it ought to be a place where we greet strangers the same way. Whenever you have someone to come, you ought to make a point to let them know that it's good to see them. You ought to make a point to let them know if they're hurting that you're praying for them. What I'm trying to tell you is that we ought to have good singing, good praying. And by the way, I thought the singing helped the service so much this morning. I thought it helped it tonight. Everybody's got to be a part. And you know what? Some of those people that were here may needed that. There's sometimes I need it. Sometimes you need it. And if we want God to be present, now listen to me, we cannot have arguing, fussing, fighting, quarreling in the house of God.
Amen.
God don't dwell in any such mess as that. So we must have peace in the house. And so if we're going to have, and you say, well, preacher, oh, so-and-so, listen, this ought to be a place where we can come, let down our guard a little bit and be helped. It's like your house. Now listen to me a minute. If every time that you walk in your house, it's a fuss and argument, you can't fight the wars that you have to fight out there and then fight the wars at home all the time. Every soldier needs a break and needs rest sometimes. And when you're in a battle, you've got to have a time of peace. And in this world, the house of God ought to be a place of peace.
Amen.
And tranquility. And people ought to be able to come here and get help, not leave. There's been one or two that I've seen that's come and left, and I was so tickled to see them leave. Because there was not a peaceful minute the whole time they were here. They were stirring something behind the scenes all the time. And now wherever they go, they still do the same thing. Because that's who and what they are. But I'm so thankful that we can come together and have some peace. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for making a house down here upon this earth that you're willing to visit, that you're willing to make your presence known. And even though we recognize you're everywhere at all times, God, it's especially good to know that if we will keep these things in mind, that your presence will be here. But Lord, if we just come in and get a tradition of coming, and Lord, we sit there and we think of other things and we play games, we have our mind, we talk, we do all these other things other than come to worship you. Lord, you'll leave this place and you'll find the place that wants to meet with you and want to worship you and give you glory and honor and praise. Forgive us, dear God, where we fail you. And God, I pray, help us on this side of eternity. And Heavenly Father, I pray again that you would just forgive us of our sin. Help us, Lord, as we struggle through this whole world. But help us, Lord, to be able to come and find a place of refuge and tranquility in the house of God. We ask this in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen.